All right, so we're back here at Queens College. We're going to play a little game. It's called I Name Pop Culture Figure. You tell me their leadership style, right? Or you just disagree. There's no real rules to this. I'm just going to name the figure, and I just want these students to kind of tell me what first comes to mind when you talk about leadership. So, Donald Trump. Some people are giggling here.
Chaotic evil.
Chaotic evil. Okay, what else comes to mind as a leader?
Confused.
Okay.
Smart businessman.
Talk about it.
He's a billionaire. He says he's a billionaire.
Okay, so. He says.
He owes a lot of properties. So
he must have done something right.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is one thing that you think you can learn from Donald Trump?
Honestly,
invest in buildings.
Invest?
One thing I'm a, it's going to sound a little bit weird, but one thing I'm like about Donald Trump is say what he's thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, can always appreciate somebody who just speaks.
Okay. Now, it might not be what you want to hear, and it might not be done in the right way or the right tone.
Yeah.
Right? But the fact of saying what's on your mind, communication skills are key.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's move forward. We have Beyonce.
Boss.
Okay, Beyonce's a boss. What else? Come on, give me more.
Influencer.
How do you feel that way?
She branched out from Destiny's Child, was
yep.
it? And she completely revolutionized the music industry on her own. And right. has made a name for herself.
I would
and
feel awesome.
There's
like
so many women like try to aspire to be like her. So she is a major influencer.
I'd say she's a big leader in social media as well.
Big leader in social media. Kills, right?
There's Rihanna's thing with Snapchat. There's this unimaginable amount of power in social media.
In social media, right? And that's the key. That's
people at the top can wield this power.
That goes back to what we talked about earlier about the myopic view, right? It's, you know, you can't win the same way every single year. You got to be able to disrupt your victories, right? And become innovative. So if Beyonce was never on social media, yes, she'll probably be big, but it continues to make her big because it makes a wider net of her audience. So now somebody that's 8, 9, 10 years old can go and watch her and understand she was on Destiny's Child or understand who she was before. So I think that's a really good point about social media.
Also, she really leads by example, too.
She leads by example.
Example, yeah. So, like, I remember when the Coachella performance happened. People were really like her team was really talking about like how she really put in her all working like tons of hours into this.
Oh, that's key. So, right. As a leader, right. People will follow you based on your style. Right. So if you are a hardworking person, people almost feel like they're going to hold them accountable because you're out there working just as hard as them. Like I always remember this guy named Alvin Gentry, a coach for the Pelicans. And they said the one reason why they respect him as a coach is that he vacuumed the locker room. When everybody left, like if the locker room was dirty, he would clean the locker room behind the players, right? And but also be the coach. So he also feel like I'm not too big to do some of the work that janitors do. Like we're all on the same level, right? The janitor might be a little busy. Let me help you out because you help us out day in and day out to make sure my locker room is clean,
like
right?
Like I said, first trick can lead, you must learn how to follow. That's always.
Say that one more time.
Before you can lead. You must learn how to follow.
Before you can lead, you must learn how to follow first.
Yeah.
That is a great response. Last person, right? Kanye West.
Crazy.
Crazy. All right, crazy.
I would say relentless.
Relentless. Okay, talk about it, Neil.
Film, audio,
right.
All his albums.
Fashion.
Clothing, fashion. The man has a finger in everything.
Right.
And he has so many connections that he can just say, I'm going to spend a few weeks in remote Wyoming and make 7 albums.
Right.
And then it happens.
Again, one of the last major things with Kanye was that comment he made about a little bit misguided, not completely wrong, though, based on how I, when we look on it, I don't make, like visualize it. Black people kind of perpetuate the thing. You see me?
Mm-hmm.
And they use it as a crutches or an excuse or whatever. That's
right.
You see, I'm from Caribbean.
You probably could have worded it better.
Yeah, it could have worded it definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm from the Caribbean, so I'm not used to this full-on racism thing.
Right.
And then I see people leaving the Caribbean in respectable jobs, soldiers, nurse, doctors, coming
mm-hmm.
here and doing far less.
Yeah.
Right.
And not allowing anyone or anything racism, yeah, quote unquote, stop them from doing what they want to do, stop them from achieving what they want to achieve. Right. But then I come here and I see people, you know, individuals who are born here, you know,
yeah,
my skin tone. Mm-hmm. Them use it as an excuse, like, yeah, oh shit, you know, excuse my language.
It's all right, it's cool, we'll keep going.
them use it as an excuse not to do something. Like, one of the first things that I saw when I came here is like, black people just group up in this clique and them song and them discuss how the system are fighting.
Yeah.
How they are being persecuted or so I might think that, how do you change this? How do you take yourself
from out of the equation?
Exactly.
No. So it depends. So, you know, this is the thing about leadership, right? Just because they have a leadership style doesn't mean we agree with their leadership style, right? So let's not say we like or dislike any of these people. We're just speaking about their leadership style. But I definitely agree what you're saying, because some people might not agree with that particular leader because he's not reaching that market anymore, right? And that's fine too. And it goes back to what I said earlier, that every event is not going to reach every single person, because some people are just going to disagree. Some people are going to disagree that there shouldn't be your club. It shouldn't be your club. It shouldn't be your club, right? But that doesn't stop you from being a good or a bad leader. It just opens the door for us to give critiques. I think that was amazing. So yeah, let's close out. Just wanted to play that game really quickly. And again, I appreciate you guys, and we'll be here for the rest of the day.
Thank you.
All right, so this is Professor Lenny Williams. I'm here at Queens College. This is part 3 of our podcast for today. I have some great, incredible student leaders here to talk, I guess. I'm looking at their faces right now. I'm hoping they're just as excited as me. Maybe I'm the only excited one at the table. We're going to change that. We're going to go around the room. We're going to have each student explain their organization a little bit, their title, and the characteristic that describes their leadership style. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to pass it over to all of my guests here. And let's jump in. Who wants to go first? Let's do it.
All right. My name is Michael. I'm president of the Judaic Culture Confederation. We try to bring some hype, bring some fire to the Jewish population at Queens.
Okay, nice. We're gonna talk about that hype and fire later. What's the characteristic that fits your leadership style?
Authoritative.
Oof. Tell me more. You can't just say it like that and just walk away. You know.
I like to make it happen. I like to make sure that things get done and that we keep going smooth.
Keep going smooth. Like it. I like it. I like it. Who wants to go next?
All right, I'll go. My name is Devonay Green. I'm the president of the Minority Association of Pre-Medical Students.
Okay, nice.
I would say that I'm an open-minded leader, but still structured.
Okay. Open-minded, still structured. Okay. Who wants to jump in? Let's just jump in.
My name is Andrea Campbell, and I'm also from the Minority Association of Pre-Medical Students. Ooh, I'm the secretary.
You're supposed to do that, but...
the characteristic that I would use to describe me is I'm very flexible because I try to balance as much as possible
while
trying to be positive. And Dove is an amazing president, so she keeps me on my toes.
How much she pay you from the budget for that? Is that legal? Who else? Let's jump in.
My name is Jonathan. I'm a new member.
And I have to admit, hold on. Jonathan looks like Tom Brady. It's like bothering me a little bit. He has a little Tom Brady swag. I'm not a Patriots fan, by the way. But go ahead. All right, I'll take it.
I'm a new member to the French Club.
Okay.
And I would say that I like to bring passion and hard work to my leadership.
Passion and hard work. Nice.
My name is TJ Barnes. I am the music director of the Queens College iTones, an a cappella group.
Nice.
And I think my leadership style is pretty creative, for sure.
Okay.
And a little bit collaborative.
Nice, nice.
I'm Michelle. I'm the treasurer from the QC iTunes, the acapella group.
Nice.
And I would say that...
Are you going to sing for us on the podcast?
All right. You never know.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And I would say that my leadership is motivating because I like to motivate the people around me. Mm-hmm. And I like that I liked that it's a group effort, not just, you know, one person.
Right. Nice, nice, nice. Now we got a couple more right here.
I'm Tulani. I'm the vice president of the Queens College Theater Guild.
Okay.
And I think my leadership style is, I'm very flexible, and I try to pick up, I don't want to say the slack, because no one's slacking in the theater department. We're always
great
working.
Answer.
But whenever there's something that needs to be done, I always try to be the one that's there to help in whatever way I can to make our community better and, yeah, thrive.
Nice. And she turned up earlier in the conference. I mean, you can't see us over here. But it was kind of lit. I can't lie.
Only because you asked.
Only
thought. I'm actually very, very shy.
But she did it.
My name is Fizza, and I'm the PR of the Golden Key Honor Society Club.
Nice.
And basically, my leadership skills would be, I guess, a little bit creative and understanding. Because sometimes, like, there is so much to do, yet, like, time is always, like, an issue. So I feel like you should always be understanding when, like, there's stuff that, like, you know, people should help out. And, like, so that's a
good issue. Right. Okay.
Okay, I guess I'll go.
There's nobody else.
Oh,
all right. Look at you, huh? You trying to get out of it, huh? Real slick, huh?
Okay, so my name is Zeltsin, and I'm the secretary for the American Association of Family Consumer Science. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of my strengths is very, time management and very organized.
Okay.
Like, I sometimes, like, with me and my club, we would try to get, like, who's gonna come be the guest speaker of the day.
Okay.
And kind of, like, assign roles, who's gonna be responsible for what. And so I get, like, take the notes and stuff like that.
Okay. Nice. Nice. We got one more.
Hi, my name is Wilfred. I'm the vice president of the Judaic Culture Confederation. I guess I'd say the characteristic I'd use to describe my leadership style is easygoing.
Okay. Help
balance out the authoritative president.
The president that gets the fire and lit. Yeah. So let's talk about that. How does that work? How does your group get other people and students involved and excited at the campus here? What are some ways that you do it?
We're creative. We have fun events and stands. We have a lot of food.
Okay.
Really,
food always works in a college campus. We're all poor. For the most part, if you're not, you can transfer some money into my account.
And we're friendly.
Okay, cool. Okay. Anybody else? What are some things that you want to see different here at Queens College this semester?
The way clubs interact. When I first came here as a freshman, I realized that everybody is so interested in doing their own thing, but at the same time, clubs don't really, you know, mesh together. Like, we don't try to, like, do things together. Like, everybody's doing their own little thing.
Everybody's doing their own thing,
yeah.
Okay.
So I would love to see clubs just collaborating and just, you know, being more outgoing and reaching out to each other and not just trying to get members to their club, but also trying to just create events where we all can just get new members but get to know each other at the same time.
Nice. So, you know, one thing that I do with this podcast is that we split the podcast up in two, as I talked about earlier. One's a conversation, other piece is a game. But in between the first and second part is we use this table discussion as we bring all our thoughts to the table and create one big event. Right, so what we're going to do, so start thinking about that. It's going to be only the bones and skeletons. It's not going to be all the details. It's creating an event based off of your clubs so that everybody can understand who each club, what each club does from your members, but also just make it a big deal and start to get people that are not involved on campus to look at it and want to join that particular event. So just start thinking about that. No pressure at all. All right, but we are going to work together and try to create something as a group. Right, we're going to break that stigma. Because somebody brought that up in the first podcast we did here at Queens about the, you know, clubs not collaborating, people not really communicating, everybody's out for themselves, and typically some of you do the same exact thing, right? It's just probably some people just want the title, right, or the e-board and things like, and who knows, or just people just don't know, right? They just don't know based off communication. What else? What are some other things you want to see that are different? Or some things you want to bring back? Anybody had a really successful event they want to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We host in every December-ish, early December, late November, it's usually early December, we host the iTonys, we call it, which is named afterwards, like a mock award show where we invite a bunch of different a cappella groups from all over New York, Massachusetts, like Long Island, and we host it as like a mock award show where like we come up with an award. Like one time we gave like the boy group, we gave them like most
like least likely to go to the gynecologist.
Least likely to go to the gynecologist. Like that was that was what it was. And so like we let everyone perform a set and we like tell everyone to dress up and like pretend like it's the like the actual Tony Awards.
Nice.
Not like too much, like don't come in a ball gown, that's really weird. But you know, like
some
come
people
in
a ball gown.
But if some people have and like we've like taken that as it is and we've moved forward. And we kind of just celebrate music in general and celebrate everyone's different sounds. And it's a really good way to interact with everyone. And we're also thinking of doing something maybe on campus where we can interact with the other clubs, which is something that we actually talked about at our last e-board meeting.
Okay.
And before the summer started. So
Something I love about the event is the fact that a lot of times with different a cappella groups at different colleges, they have a variety of level of resources available.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might be really small. Some of them might have a disproportionate amount of guys and girls, whatever that. And something that I think is like a culture that's created at these a cappella events, which I haven't found a lot of places elsewhere, is that no matter how you sound, how you look, some people are really well put together, really represented. Some people are just up there having fun. The support from the audience is always overwhelming, no matter what you do. And I think that is like an idea that I would love to extract from that and see if we could apply it more around campus. This idea of supporting each other, you know, even if, you know, everyone's at different levels and we're all doing different things, and like that support can be completely consistent.
And yeah, we really focus on the strengths of each individual. Like some people might be a great soloist, some people may be great at background, some people might, you know, have great arrangements, be a great beatboxer, and we really celebrate each individual's contribution to the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we just try to focus on in general.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Anybody else? Success, horror stories? I'm going to bring it up.
We also have horror stories.
Yeah, tell us. Tell us. What is the worst, before you tell us, so get somebody else involved.
Absolutely.
What is the worst thing that has happened to you as a student leader? Like the most embarrassing moment?
Well, I don't know if it's like most embarrassing, but it's like when you put all the effort into an event and you're planning for months and, you know, inviting people, and then when the day comes, it's only like five people and your advisors at the event. So that could be disheartening.
Right. What I think is a teaching lesson for that is that before carbohydrates and getting old, I used to play sports in college, in high school. And now it looks like I did nothing but eat and sleep and pasta and sleep again and hang out with my fiance. That's all it looks like I do. But before that, I actually did used to play sports. And the one thing they always taught us was no matter who your competition is, you play the same way. You play just as hard, whether somebody has no wins or they're undefeated. And I kind of applied that to when I first started doing events like this. So my first event was in a gentleman's club or a socials club where people were only members, and my dad was a member of this social club, and five people came. I put all this work in. Like, I stayed up all night. I stapled all the pamphlets. It's like, everything's perfect. I can't wait. I'm going to have 75 people there, and five people came. Two were my parents. One was my sister, and it was like two people from next door that seen the flyer up outside. But I kept that same energy from then until now, being in 63 other colleges, right? My point is that if you create these events and you create this idea, having five is better than zero, right? And if you please those five people and they make them happy, it goes back to that plus one mentality. They're going to bring one. That next five will turn into 10. 10 will turn into 20. 20 will turn into 40. Right, and that's the mentality you want to have as a student leader. So, like you said, it is kind of embarrassing, but it's not. Embarrassing would have been you not doing it at all. Right, so put the effort in, put the work in, and figure out, okay, now it's successful. How can I get more people in the room? Now, the second piece is, if you want to learn for assessment, a trick, is that you go live. right? You use social media, you go live. If 55 people watched and 5 people were in the room, that can be considered 60 people attended your event, right? So start thinking about that, especially when you try to get more money in the budget, or you want to kind of, you know, get more clubs involved. Hey, maybe I only got 5 people at an event, but I had 55 people watch on live, right? So those are kind of the keys and the tips when it comes to that. Anybody else? What are some like embarrassing or some horror stories as a student leader that made you go home and say, why did I sign up for this? Why am I going to all these meetings? This club is trash, but I'm going to make it better because I'm going to stay. Anybody else?
I don't want to hog the time, but there was a moment where I thought I was being really creative, and we sang the national anthem at one of our events. Uh-oh. But I did an arrangement on that. We had an arrangement in the national anthem that we sing all the time, Easy Peasy. And so I was like, oh, it'd be
easy
really
peasy,
cool.
Right? National anthem, easy. It's one of the hardest songs. Yes. Singers. You can't take you guys anywhere, you know?
And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be really creative. I'm going to do the national anthem, but in minor. Now, if you all don't know what that is, instead of going like,
break it down.
Oh, say, yo, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's, which sounds like weird, but it's also really cool. You know, it's like kind of like sad, but like it had some cool chords in there and stuff like that. So we did
excited.
It every time rehearsal. It maybe took 5 minutes total that we spent on rehearsal in that. We had other songs to do, obviously, and we never missed a beat or a note, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
We got out there in performance, half people sang into major, half people sang into minor. I stopped. Now, the thing is, like, obviously, as when you get that, like, a couple bars in and you're like, this is not working, I think it's good to take the L, stop, cut it off, and be like, all right, we're gonna try this again. We're definitely not perfect, so we're gonna try this again. We tried it again, and the same thing happened.
Oh,
so
wow.
We just went through. By the end, there were, by the end, I'd say almost all the group was in the same key, and the people who had stood up in the back to like put their hand on their heart had sat down. So, so it was embarrassing. I kind of cringe a little bit thinking about it, but we all have our failures.
So all right. So what was the learning lesson you got from that? Because I feel like as student leaders, that's the key too. As a leader in general, mm-hmm. is to be transparent that we're not perfect. You know, nothing makes me more upset than leaders thinking that they're perfect. Right, you're able to be transparent and tell that story. Some leaders are scared to tell that story, right? Mm-hmm. But you telling that story can actually help another leader in that position. So what were some of the things that you learned? Now, maybe we're not all singers. I'm not a singer. I want all my Grammys in the car. Right? But there's always a learning lesson that can be taught for the things that I do in my life. Because I'm on stage and there's times that I mess up, right? Or forget something, or the slides don't work, or the music doesn't cut on when it's supposed to cut on. So what are the learning lessons did you get from that event?
I think one thing was to, in retrospect, I got myself in the headspace that this is something I just can't do again. And I think a lesson that I learned way down the line was that I can't let this, like, mess up my creativity going forward.
Right.
And putting out an idea that might have a similar, it might fall apart again. But the idea is to try those things and not be afraid to take the L and say, we messed up. It's cool,
exactly.
Like, you know, stuff happens. And I think those were two really important lessons that I absorbed, but I stopped talking here.
No, that's great. No, keep talking. That's what we're here for. Anybody else? Anything that ever happened that you felt was embarrassing, but then you got a learning lesson from it later?
Well, it's not so much embarrassing. This is my first time being an official leader, I would say.
There you
and
go.
Actually,
we're all leaders.
Sitting here, when you ask the question, I'm sitting here like, well, I just became vice president. We haven't even had a club meeting yet. I haven't done anything for the club. And then I'm realizing last year, I went to a bunch of the meetings. I was always visible. People thought I was on executive board last year just because of how much I was always there. And so I was realizing at our meetings last year, we have a lot of active members,
mm-hmm.
but they're active in other ways than coming to the meetings. And I think that's something we really have to try and figure out a way to get people into the meetings,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that what we're actually doing and what we're about. Because a lot of our members aren't majors.
Okay.
A lot of it, which is funny, a theater guild you would think, but we have a very small department. There's maybe 100 people in our department.
Wow. Okay.
And a lot of our actors are actually from around the school. So we have to figure out a way to get other people in. And I think that's something that just watching the people who were leaders before me, I have to try and figure out a way now to help, you know, carry this along and make it better.
Right. Anybody have any ideas to help her? It's tough.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I
think that like something that I learned with the iTones too is like getting a gauge of where the group is, because I think we get consumed as leaders and we get consumed with like there needs to be X number amount of attendance, there needs to be X, and if you don't show up to this, then you can't do this, and you can blah 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 blah. And we get so consumed in our expectations, mm-hmm. and we forget to ask, what do you want from this group, mm-hmm. and what's going to make you excited to come? Mm-hmm. And that's what I've really stressed this past year, and like will continue to stress. Like, there was one time in an e-board meeting that I looked at all the members, all the e-board members, and I was like, nobody cares about this outside of this little meeting. And it's not important to literally anyone else. No one cares. Why do we keep harping on this one thing that just does not matter to the group? Like, it may matter to like our morals or our ethics or like whatever, but it's not significant. So why are we wasting our energy? And why don't we ask the group how they feel and what they want from the group and what's going to make them excited to come there? So I think that's a huge thing. Like, what is one thing that you want to learn from this experience in the Theater Guild or like in the iTunes or like whatever? And how can we help you do that? Because as e-board members, we're all elected. None of us were like, you know, authoritarian here. Like, I was born into this, you know. Like, all of us had to be elected, and we're here to represent the members. And I think that's just something that we have to always remember and like self-reflect and just be like, while we do want to have an organized, structured group, how are we serving the members so that they're excited to come and they don't feel like it's a burden?
Right. That's good. That's good. Anybody else?
Well, it's I feel that because right now I'm the only member of the French club that's here.
Okay.
And it's my first time, and I have no idea what.
It's all right. You're in the fire now.
So, I just, you know, I don't know if I just felt a little bit left in the dust, but I just felt like I was thrown into it, but it would be nice to, you know, kind of get some coaching from the president or from someone, but apparently everyone's studying abroad.
and, you know, that's okay, because that's why we have these retreats. There's other presidents here. There's other people that have been in your position where they might only had just them at the last, you know, conference. So it's good to kind of talk and collaborate. That's how we're going to do that later on here. So it's actually a good thing and a bad thing, right? It feels bad. But I always feel like that's the whole thing about innovation and disruptive innovation, right? When you knock a whole building down is what's left, right? And now you're left. So now it's up to you to kind of build this new building of success. And not to say that they're going to be left out, but when they come back, they'll be like, oh, wow, you created this, you created this, created this. We're going to join in. Some people are going to have egos and be like, I didn't have no part of this and going to be a certain way, but that's a part of leadership. And if some people are going to join in, it could be larger than life. So it's actually a bad thing. You know, it feels lonely, but it's really a good thing. And it's an opportunity for you to meet other leaders and successful clubs around the campus, find out what they do, and kind of put your own twist to it.
Yeah, that is what I'm most excited about, right, to be here for. What it's all about. So.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna change tunes a little bit. I'm gonna make this a little fun, right? I hear the embarrassing stories. I hear the good, the bad, the ugly. But now I'm gonna talk about like pop culture. So we're big on pop culture at our company. We take pop culture, turn to education. Pop culture, let me explain, is not just hip hop. Right? Some people will say, well, pop culture is Kendrick Lamar. No. It's everything that's happening around us. Whether it's from the news today to the movie that you just seen or one of your favorite movies. I'm going to go around the room again. Okay? Don't give me that look over there. I got your back. Don't worry. And what I want you to do is talk about something in pop culture that you enjoy that can teach somebody about leadership. So let me give you an example. I'm a big LeBron James fan.
Yeah.
Big. You too? Huge. Huge LeBron James fan. Maybe more huge than you. No, I'm kidding. We're probably on the same level of LeBron James fanship. Now, I didn't like LeBron James for a couple years. And that's a whole other story. Podcast is not long enough. But I'm a big LeBron James fan now. But the thing I love about LeBron James, what he teaches about leadership, is the art of collective success and teamwork. Now, some people don't like LeBron James because he supposedly handpicks his teammates. He does. But sometimes we need to handpick some of the leaders around us, right? And make sure that they understand the mission and the value of winning. Right? It's nothing against them. We just know that this is what's going to work. And that's what I like with LeBron James. I also like that he understands social responsibility. right? Not only does he win on the court, but he's starting to understand that it's bigger than just the court. Just like some of us, we know that Queens College is a nice big college and we do great things, but we also know the community needs us just as much. So we force our clubs to do work in the community just as much as they do work inside a university or a campus. And those are things I feel LeBron James can teach us and more. You know, he's a family man, he's married. We don't know any scandals unless he pays people off to not tell us scandals, right? But for what we know as the public, he doesn't have any scandals. He raises his kids, he coaches his kids, he continues to mentor. And that's why I'm a big LeBron James fan. And I think he's really good to discuss when it comes to leadership. So that's a perfect example of somebody I agree with. Now, it could be an athlete. It can be somebody from your culture that's considered popular culture or popular famous. It can be music, movies, a book, an article you just read. What is something that you can that you just seen or you enjoy that you can turn into a leadership lesson for us, for your club and your club and organization, for your friends, your family, and the people listening in? Anybody want to jump in?
Well, I don't know. Just based on what I've seen, she's like very controversial, but like Taylor Swift. Like she really had, she fell down completely. Like people are like, she's a snake, she's horrible, blah, blah, blah. Right. And she kind of like took it back. Like she was like, yeah, I am a snake or like whatever. And she's like made one of the biggest stadium tours ever to
exist. Yeah, she killed traffic in my town.
What?
Traffic was terrible in my
town. Yeah, like she literally, she had like the highest selling album. She, you know, like rave reviews all around. Like the stadium tour has like sold. She's playing in front of 60,000 people every single night.
Every single, it's big.
Every single, like she's playing at the same stadium four nights in a row. Every single time there's more than 60,000 people. And I think it's just like, shows that you can fall down mm-hmm. and you can have like I guess your reputation ruined and you can kind of take it back and use it to your advantage in a positive way and try to reimagine yourself and make your reputation what you want it to be instead of taking letting other people control what that is.
Yeah, the power of rebranding too. Some clubs and organizations are like Taylor Swift, right? People do not like the club and organization. They want to ban them, they want to get rid of them, but they can't. And it's like, how do you re-image that? So that's a really good example. Yeah. Or how do you change the perception of the club where it becomes popular once again? And not only popular, but people respect it enough to support it so it can move forward. That's a really good example. So Taylor Swift is a really good one, even though she blocked traffic in my town. That's okay. I'm still hurt. Like 2 hours, man. I'm stuck out there. Anybody else? Any figure, anybody, a book you just read or somebody you listened to? Or even a song. Is there a song that motivates you every single day that you turn it on no matter what and it just makes your day?
So a lot of people might not know this woman from her name, Danai Gurira.
Okay.
But they would know her by her most famous character, Michonne from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
She's also, you know, in Black Panther. And so she's an actress. She went to NYU. She's great. But she's also a playwright. Mm. And she writes really, really interesting, unique work. And, you know, a lot of people don't know about it if you're not, like, in the theater world. They just know her pop culture, you know, mm-hmm. image, which is totally fine. But I think what I really appreciate about that is finding different parts of yourself that can appeal to the world in different ways mm-hmm. and being able to have that platform for all the things that you find important
okay.
and try and figure out a way to basically do what you love and mm-hmm. all of what you love and not having to like, you know, pinpoint focus on something. And I really right. appreciate that.
Right. I always tell people and leaders, we always try to do 95,000 things, right? Jeff and I have this term called the to-do list. Right? You know what to-do is. Right, it's just a list of a whole bunch of stuff, but you're not really doing, right? Mm-hmm. You're not really doing ish. And we call that to-do list. And a lot of leaders do that. They join like 14 clubs. They're in like 21 credits, 18 credits. They have like 3 jobs. They also got 5 dogs at home. And you're like, what are you doing? Like you're doing too much. But they want to act like they're so busy. Right, and as leaders, we have to be mindful of that. So we have to be strategic of how busy we are. So for this particular individual, you know, Walking Dead and all that stuff might have gave her the opportunity to meet people so that the playwright mm-hmm. can work for that individual as well. So that's the key. It's like being able to be strategic with how busy you are and knowing that you can do a bunch of things, but just don't burn yourself out or wear yourself out and make sure it makes sense. And it's also a long life expectancy for all of us. You know, we hope for it. We hope the universe gives us that. And we have time to do it all. Right? Sometimes we think we're at 21, 22, 23. Some of you might be older students. Then we got to do it right now. Everything has to be done right now. And some stuff just has to wait. Right? And some stuff plays into other things. Okay? Anybody else?
Billy Joel.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now you're talking to me. Man, let me tell you. Go ahead. I'm not going to do it. It's on you. You said Billy Joel. You got to tell me why. You got to tell us.
Billy Joel is he's an extremely talented musician. He might not have the largest stadium tour ever, but he's got the longest streak at MSG.
Which is...
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm not going to say anything else. MSG, for you don't know, it's Madison Square Garden. Thank you. For my listeners from like out of the country, you know, I had to make sure they heard it from the heart. Go ahead.
You know, he's really what I see him as is in terms of leadership is somebody who knows what he's good at, and he tries to when he's up there performing, he is only focused on that main art that he's good at. He doesn't use the stage as a platform to, you know, to grandstand about politics or anything else. He's there to play music. His personal life puts it aside. It wasn't the best, you know, it wasn't the cleanest, or, you know, earlier, but he turned it around, but it doesn't really matter when he, you know, when he gets up there on that stage, his mind is set on one thing, and that's what he's supposed to be good at, and that's what he is. And so I learn, you know, I try to learn from that. And also, you know, whenever I'm doing, you know, anything that I'm a leader in or that other people are going to be looking, I should be completely focused on that one thing and trying to do it to the best of my ability.
Your ability. It's great. It's really great. You might want to join in on that. Anybody agree?
I think that's really
good. Billy Joel, that's sharp. That's one of the best answers, by the way. I'm a little biased. I like Billy Joel. Anybody else? Before we move on, does anybody, you know, have anything or anybody or anything in particular?
I've been watching a lot of Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
And it's either that or Jerry Springer, so maybe...
Whoa. I mean, you went from Zen to...
Exactly. It's the two opposites. Different ways of approaching your problems. But Dr. Phil, I just watched something, and he said something that, to me, I can't get out of my head. And I don't know if he took it from somewhere, so this might be the original place, but...
It's all right.
He said that winners do what losers don't want to do. And he says that multiple times over a course of different videos in completely different contexts, but reapplied the same thing that says winners do what losers don't want to do. And I think that's so important for leaders. To be a leader and to be successful as a leader, you have to just do more than is just, you know, comes with the title, or do more to make yourself successful. And it's like those nitty-gritty things. It's like, I don't know. I compare it to, you know, sometimes I think about that quote when I want to just, like, do the dishes. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a winner today, and I'm going to do my freaking dishes.
Right.
You know? It's like, it's a big pile in the sink. It's stuff like that that I feel like when I apply it over to leadership, in whatever field you want to do, is, like, take the initiative and do, you know, maybe it's things you might consider quote-unquote grunt work, or maybe it's the things that people don't want to do, and do them and be good at doing them and put the energy into a presentation or something like that, or a project, more energy than you think is necessary to get the good grade.
Absolutely.
Like, sometimes you come to a point where you're like, I could stop here and still get an A, but I got to finish this whole thing, you know?
Right.
And so I think that is just something that I can't get out of my head that has been influencing me very positively.
Yeah, if I jump in, I always give a quote about, I had one time in college, again, playing sports, I got hurt. And, you know, I thought everybody was going to feel bad for me. They felt bad temporarily, but the team had to continue to win. I ran track, so they had to find somebody. So I got hurt in the fall semester. So December came, and it was a new guy on the team. And this particular person was somebody I lost to in high school numerous times. So I knew exactly what race he ran. I was like, oh, maybe he does something different in college. Maybe. Yeah, right? He did. And I remember I got so upset, and somebody told me, listen, and it was bad because I was injured and I couldn't do nothing, but it works for life. He said, if you don't want to do something, you can always be replaced, right? And that was a big reminder to me. Now, granted, at that time, I really did have a serious injury, but it stuck with me forever. You know, when I don't have an injury or when I don't want to do something or I don't want to get up. You know, if I don't want to go to Queens College and speak, you know, Jeff and I are partners. Jeff can just find somebody else to go speak for me. And then for the next 5 years, that person can be here working at Queens College because I didn't want to show up. Right? And that happens to so many people. Or you didn't want to go to that tryout for a particular role, or you didn't want to go to that job interview, or you didn't want to apply when that one job was going to get you to your dream career. Right? So it's very important to understand that if you don't want to do something, you can always be replaced. So I think that was really great, that winners do what losers don't want to do. It's the same concept. And I think that's really important as leaders, as you're in your meetings, as you want to do events. And maybe people haven't done it before, but now it's on you, and you have that ability to do it. So I'm gonna give you a quote that I gave the last group, and I just want you to tell me what that quote means to you. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand and segues to what we're talking about right now. The quote is simple. Pressure is a privilege. Right? Pressure is a privilege. When you hear that, how does that make you feel? What do you think?
It is a chance to grow.
It's a chance to grow. So pressure.
Strengthen. I believe that every day you're going to meet challenges. And when you overcome a challenge, another challenge gets adds on. And you just get stronger each time. So don't think of pressure as just a disadvantage or something bad. People think that challenges are bad and that they're horrible and stuff. And they hate. But I think of it as a way to just grow as a person.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're not getting any challenges, you're in the wrong space. If you're always winning, you're in the wrong space. Right? If everybody looks like you, sound like you, talks like you, don't challenge any of your thoughts, you're in the wrong place. So that's the mindset you want to have. That's why that sometimes it becomes pressure, because really it's accountability. Right? Somebody, the universe, thought that you were good enough for this position. Now it's up to you to hold your accountable, to be accountable to that position and make sure you're doing the right things. Anything else? Pressure is a privilege. What did you think?
I think it has to do with choice, and it also has to do with, like, the responsibility you're given. Like, people trust that you can handle things. They're going to give it to you. But you also have the choice to either accept that or reject that. And that takes into account, like, you can accept the challenges you're given, or you can be your own, like, you can have your own jurisdiction and just be like, I don't think this is the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's, like, an honor to get this, I don't necessarily need it right now. Or you can take the bull by the horns and, like, go straight into it. And it really just depends on your own decision. So, because a privilege is not necessarily a choice, but I think that, like, privileges can be taken away or they can be given.
Right.
And I think that we have control over, we have some control over what we're given and what is taken away.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Let's get one more person here.
I think pressure produces the best work. It's kind of like if you're, like, writing a paper, right? If you're not forced to, like, write a paper about a specific topic, it's like you're just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like when you write a paper and, like, when you read it over, you understand, like, how much effort you put in, and it produces, like, great work. But if you're not really pressured to do something, you might end up not doing it, and then you, like, regret it. So I feel like pressure kind of gives you a chance to, like, be successful in, like, what you love doing.
Nice. I do. I agree. I think, you know, I hated tests in school, and that sounds crazy coming from a professor. Don't tell my students I said that. You're not listening right now. Just mute it. But I do. I'm not a big fan. I was not a big fan of tests. But then I realized that tests kind of help you with life in general, because every day you're presented a different test in life. And whether it's good, bad, easy, whatever. From the day of getting up and just going to school is a test, right? Attending class is another test. Making sure you're paying attention in class is a test. Having the right friends is a test, the right family members, the right support, your clubs, organization. You're put through tests every single day, and it's about you of how am I going to handle that, right? How am I prepared for that? And that's the key when it comes to pressure and privilege. So I'm going to change tunes for a minute. I'm going to end it with this last part of the segment. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to yell a pop culture figure. Okay. All right, you tell me what comes to mind first as leaders. Right? So the first person, Donald Trump.
Successful.
Successful. Okay, tell us more.
Became president.
What else?
His economy's booming.
Economy's booming, okay.
foreign relations were back on top.
Back on top. Now, but what about his leadership style? What do you think? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree?
Gets the votes.
You know, Brad, so it's funny. I'm going to shout out to Brad Parcell. I met him in the airport. Brad was the guy that runs all the campaign for Donald Trump. And I met him randomly at the restaurant, the airport, the most random conversation. And that's how he was talking. We were not like, we're winning. I mean, what can you say? That was his response to everything. And when you're winning, you can't really disagree. So when it comes to leadership, and that's why I said his name first before we continue, it's not about if you personally like the person. It's just about their leadership style. We don't have to like somebody to be able to understand their leadership style. So whether you agree or disagree, that's a whole nother conversation. But the leadership style is more important to me. What can we learn from that particular individual? So you saying successful. What else? Let's throw something else out there.
Confidence. He's very confident. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. He's not afraid to do what he believes is the best option for him or everybody else.
Right.
And that's confidence. Because if, as a leader, yes, you have to listen to the people. But at the same time, you have to know when to put your foot down to say that I know when this is the best option.
Right. Bosses, I said earlier, leaders only listen to leaders. Bosses only listen to bosses. If you walk into a room real timid, people are not going to listen to you. You know, I'm a business person. If you're not directing an email, you can send all the nice emails in the world like, oh, I'm so happy. Happy summer. How's your leg? I know your leg is not doing well. And blah, 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 blah. And then the last part is like, are you willing to give us $10,000 out of your budget? I don't know if that person is going to be as direct, right? Because it's like you went around. They might not have the time. But the more direct you are, sometimes that works. Right, so it's important to understand. Now, how his tone is, again, we're not here to judge that part. But, like you said, he's willing to speak about what's on his mind. Yes?
I also think he, like, strives off the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going to make people tick, and he uses that either to benefit or against them. And that, you know, he does make headlines, and he does, like, whether you think it's good or it's bad, you can tell by my tone what I think, but
it's okay.
But I think that he definitely, whether he's aware of it or not, because I don't know if I would give him the credit, but I think that he strives off the controversy. He knows it's going to make someone tick, and he's just like, this is my opinion, this is what it is, blah, 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 blah. And if people disagree with him, he's going to use that disagreement to his advantage. Because he's just going to fuel other people, which is like how you build a really good following, which he does have. I can't deny
that. You can't deny the following. And I also think that he always trying to prove himself to the doubters. Mm-hmm. That's something else that I learned. So I don't know if you remember when there was a roast with Barack Obama and Donald Trump.
Oh,
right? There's a rumor, and I'm not gonna say it's true or not, but I heard through some very reliable sources that was one of the reasons why he really went back into running for president. It was one of those that it was a joke, and you want a joke against me? I'm a boss, you're a boss, and I'm gonna show you that I'm just as powerful as you. Now, does that mean it's good or bad? Again, this is not what the conversation is about, but sometimes we have to prove our doubters wrong, or sometimes we have to prove not only our doubters, but our own insecurities wrong, that we can do certain things that people might not be able to see. Okay?
I was going to say visibility.
Visibility.
And in a certain way, access. Because, like, every day he's out there, he said something, and everybody's going to know what he said.
Right.
And he's on public platforms like Twitter every day, speaking his mind for good or for bad. Everybody's able to see his opinions on things that are important.
Right.
And in a way, they know that their voice is going to be heard or has been heard when he responds to it. So having that sense of visibility and access in a way that at least you know the people who are looking up to you or seeing you, for whatever reason, are going to hear what you're saying. That's very interesting.
Okay, so go ahead.
For us, I think that's, I mean, at least for the Judaic Culture Confederation, I think that's huge. What, you know, the visibility, and, you know, it's, we've had a big challenge about how do you get yourself out there? How do you, you know, make people know about your events, especially those, you know, who don't know that your club exists.
Right.
So that visibility, I think visibility is probably our number one, thing that we're trying to work on.
Right.
As clubs and as leaders in 4-hour clubs.
And that's a big thing on campus. I'm going to switch a little bit. I know somebody has some other points. Okay. I'm going to throw somebody else out there just for time purposes. We got to get two people. This is I'm going to jump a little bit over. All right, so somebody said Taylor Swift. Got some other, Billy Joel. We're going to say Beyonce. All right, what do you think when you hear the word or the name or the hive? Beyonce.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
She takes her strengths and brings them on stage and empowers everyone around her, including herself. And she just knows how to get, like, she just knows how to touch the hearts of everyone in the audience. And she still, like, keeps herself, like, she's, you know, she's never going to take away from her own morals or anything, but she takes that and she just uses it, and she is really, really smart with what she does and is very strategic and is very well spoken and just, like, powerful. She can literally do anything.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad everybody agrees too. It's crazy.
Fearless. She is fearless. Like, everybody shows weakness at some point, but I've never seen her show an ounce of weakness. Mm-hmm. And if she did, I believe she would turn it into strength.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Because, let's face it, she's Beyonce. Yeah, she's just, you know, like, she goes out there, she just does her thing. She doesn't care what nobody has to say. Mm-hmm. And she tries to encourage her fans and everybody and let them know that you just gotta wear it proud. Just do what you gotta do. Don't care about nobody. Just do your stuff.
There's a real good video on YouTube where Beyonce was performing and her hair got caught in the fan.
Oh, yeah.
And she just kept singing. And then security just came, just, like, gracefully took her hair out the fan. And she never acted like the hair was in the fan. And that's how you have to be as leaders sometimes, right? Is be able to, one, keep it moving even if there is a mistake or there is a flaw. But what's most important about Beyonce that we don't talk about is the team behind her. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a huge team behind her that can protect that particular brand. So sometimes as a leader, if you are the face of your brand, you need that huge team around you that when you're not in the room, they're still protecting you the same way as if you're in the room, right? So if you can't make it to that event or you can't make it to that meeting, they're bringing that same energy that you would have bought times two, right? Or you're not going to talk about my president, not even on some controversy, but you're not going to talk about my president like that. This is what we're doing, actually. Just because they're not here today, this is our budget. This is all our paperwork. Have a great day. Thank you. We're all bosses in here. Right, and that's the team around that, right? The dancers are just as good as Beyonce. The music is just as good as Beyonce. The lighting. You know, there's a ticket. I don't know if you know for Beyonce's show. I think it's like $2,000, $3,000, where you meet the backstage people. You don't meet Beyonce. You meet the sound guy and the MD. And he's just like, hey, yeah, I'm Beyonce's MD. And, you know, if you know anything about, like, sound guys and behind the scenes, they're like straight stoke personality, just... You know, yeah, we do Beyonce. I mean, if you want to see the light there, there's a switch right here. And we hit that switch, and then everything goes on. And all right, guys, this is it for the tour. Like, there's no excitement. But because you want to be so close to Beyonce, you respect their team the same exact way. And that's what you want people on campus to be. They respect you so much that they want to be by your team just as bad. Right? That's the key. And that's something that I noticed with Beyonce. Anybody else with Beyonce? We have like 30 more seconds to kind of close out. Anybody else? I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, it's that kind of power when you just don't even have to speak to your own power, and, you know, everybody else carries it for you. That's true power.
I think the key is, and I'm going to end with this, is no longer have to introduce your group or introduce your name. Mm-hmm. Like, when you walk in the room, they know you're the most powerful club. They know that you're always on point. They know that you're always on time. You're respectful to everybody, from the person that opens the door to the person that delivers the food to all the way up to the president. Right? You treat everybody the same way. And that when you're in a room, it's your room. And that's the key as a club, as an organization. And that's how you become visible. Not just on social media, but that's just in general. Because as I noticed here, you said there's lack of communication. People don't really talk to each other. Now is the time. Right now is the time to say, my club's going to be one visible. We're going to communicate. And we're always going to be powerful no matter what room we're in. So I thank you all for being on the podcast. You'll be able to check this out. And everybody that's listening, you're here at Queens College. Please support all the students here. If you're in the New York City area, I know they'll love for you to come to their events if possible. And let's build.